This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Sean Dooley, Joy Drive's chief bird nerd.
Good afternoon, Sean Dooley.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Now, every few decades, the salt flats of Lake Eyre, they fill with water. I'm just going to ask you directly, how do the pelicans know? Do you Bird Life Australia ring them and say, hey, get up there?
Every week I get a knock on the door from a pelican saying, now? No, not yet. This is one of the great mysteries, and we think we know. There's a lot of theories, but what happens, like, the Lake Eyre Basin is 17% of Australia's landmass, and it gets those big cyclones and big floods, and so water comes down the Cooper Creek, the Diamantina, and everything heads towards Lake Eyre, but not every year does it even make it, and only once every sort of 10 to 20 years does it fill completely, and it looks like that's what we're getting this time. And so suddenly the pelicans, and not just pelicans, a whole lot of other water birds turn up. And the big question is, pelicans we think of as coastal birds, how do they know that there's a lake 2,000 kilometres away filled with fish that they can feast on and then raise a bunch of chicks? And we've got theories, and it might be a mix of all these theories, but we just don't know. It's fascinating.
Sean, before we get into, I know you're not a fish man, but how do the, if the lake's empty for so long, how do the fish get there too?
Yeah, well, they actually come
so
down with the floods.
They come with the floods. Okay, right. Got it.
They come with the floods, but they also have a breeding event. And also in Lake Eyre, in those big salt lakes, there's lots of small little critters. One of the main ones is a type of brine shrimp. And they're actually eggs after the floods. When the lake dries out, the eggs just sit just below the surface, and then when the water hits, these billions and billions of little crustaceans and plankton-like things start growing, and that provides the basis for the food chain. And so it's an absolute bonanza, and our birds in Australia are geared to this boom and bust. Mm. But you know, so they'll avoid the area for 15 years, and suddenly they're all back.
What are the theories though? What could possibly say to them, hey, get up to the lake quick?
Yeah.
Well, like if it was annually, you'd sort of think, oh, yeah, okay, you know, there's patterns.
Yeah.
10 years.
Because this is not a migration, which is a marvel of nature in itself, but this is not an annual sort of migration dictated by the seasons. We think that they're picking up on clues, and they might pick up on several of these, but one of the thoughts, and the other amazing thing is, like, birds like budgies do this as well. They know when there's a big storm somewhere in the outback, and they know that sort of 4 weeks later after the rains, there'll be lots of grass that's seeding, and they'll turn up 4 to 6 weeks later to feed on the grass. So how do they do it? We think one of the reasons may be that they pick up on what we call infrasound, which is sort of that subsonic level sound. So they might actually hear monsoons and thunderstorms from thousands of kilometres away, and that might trigger them to respond and go, okay, we know what goes on. We can't prove that, but we certainly know they have an aptitude for picking up low frequency sounds that we would never hear. There is also a thought perhaps they smell when it rains after a drought dry period, you get that petrichor smell. Maybe they're so attuned they can pick up that smell from hundreds of kilometres away. I'm not sold on that theory. It seems pretty remarkable, but it's possible. And another thing, I think maybe a bit more sort of prosaic, but still pretty magnificent, is birds like pelicans can soar pretty high. And so they're probably sending up scouts regularly who are just going for a fly a couple hundred Ks, and they get a big view of the landscape, and they might be able to see how things are and then go back and somehow report back to the others who then all go, yep, now's the time. But we don't know. They might be picking up on the barometric pressure, just sort of that muscle memory of thousands of generations of pelicans and water birds that have learnt to live in this driest of continents and take advantage of the good times when they come. But whatever whatever the reason, it is just one of the most magnificent phenomena in all of nature.
We hear about, I suppose, with humans, you know, how in our DNA, and actually we'll be talking about this next week on Drive, how trauma can be coded into our DNA. I've forgotten, is it epigenetics or something like that is the word for it. I wonder if there's, is that how the birds, I suppose, you know, through generations of birds, because I mean, how many generations would there be after 10 years, how they know to put this puzzle together and say, okay, let's get up there quick.
Yeah, yeah. I think that there's got to be something in that they've evolved, and we, I think as humans, as a species, we've hidden this connection with nature and the seasons and the climate. We've kind of put a lot of barriers to our innate understanding. With all our intelligence, we kind of miss out on that base level sort of, you know, as you said, genetic, epigenetic intelligence. But so these animals and the birds, they've been around for, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of years, and have worked out the patterns and just seem to know how to do it. And we were sort of thinking that there are other birds like the incredible bird, the banded stilt, which is a really beautiful wading bird, shorebird. They tend to spend their time in saline lakes like the Coorong and lakes in Western Australia. And then they will go to places like Lake Eyre. And we were thinking, how do they do it if Lake Eyre doesn't flood for 25 years? How does the generation survive? But we think they actually are constantly going. Any sign of rain, some of them will head off and have a crack at breeding in smaller lakes and little wetlands. So it's probably constantly bubbling along. Yeah.
For 10 years, they've been hanging on. They're like, let's get out. I find this fascinating. Can you paint us a picture, Sean, of what it's like when these birds arrive en masse at Lake Eyre?
Yeah, I was at Lake Eyre 3 years ago, and there was still some water in it from a previous flood from about 10 or a few years before, just a little bit of water in the south. And even then, you're going through the Gibber dry country, and it's a little oasis, and there were a few water birds around, but they weren't breeding. But when you get these breeding events, it would be just amazing. I've seen it on other lakes at not nearly that level. But it just, the pelicans take over every bit of land on the islands that are in the middle of this mighty inland sea. And they're constantly going out fishing for all the, you know, the fish that have washed in and are breeding themselves and taking them back to the colony. And the chicks are these little kind of, you know, naked dinosaurs that have pulsating their pouches because they're trying to keep cool. And I know, being in water bird colonies and big colonies of breeding seabirds and water birds where they're eating fish, it really does start to get a good pong to it. So it's kind of not necessarily the most tranquil and beautiful place, and but certainly a challenge fragrant wise. But there's so much life teeming, and then you get all these other creatures coming in, like the silver gulls, the seagulls, they turn up as well, and they start nesting because there's so much food around the pelican colony, wasted food.
Oh, I love it. It's like fish and chips.
Exactly. And you know, often the broken eggs or the gulls really don't take on the chicks of the pelican, but there's a big attrition rate. So there's a whole lot of wasted food, dead animals, that sort of thing. And the gulls take advantage, which can then be a problem for the beautiful little banded stilts, because the silver gulls can eat their eggs. And we've had a couple of times where, because gull numbers in the cities are so big, when they've discovered the floods in Lake Eyre or Lake Torrens, they all get up there where they normally wouldn't. And the once in a generation breeding cycle for these beautiful stilts is interrupted, and because the seagulls are there gobbling up all their eggs. So it's a really delicate, desperate balance of trying to produce the new generation before the floods dry out as well. These birds have got to time it. They'll keep breed. They'll nest again if it's still flooding and there's still fish and shrimps there. But if they mistime it, then they get a whole, you know, you can just lose thousands and thousands of chicks as the water dries up and there's no food for them.
We're chatting with Sean Dooley, National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia, about a rare and breathtaking natural event that is Lake Eyre filling with water and the mysterious instinct that draws birds from across the continent and beyond to go there and breed. Now, Sean, these aren't short flights, are they? We're not sort of, you know, I'm thinking if the scouts go up in the air to have a look, it's not like we're looking down the Mornington Peninsula to see that there's a bit of rain down there. I mean, some of the birds are coming from thousands of kilometres away. Do they do it in one big journey? Do they just go up and off we go?
We're still not sure. We're learning a lot more. Scientists have been, the last 10, 15 years, have started to use satellite trackers on all sorts of water birds in particular to see where they go. And it's amazing how often they move around. There are some trackers that have been put on pelicans. And one of the things we realized the last time there was a bit of flooding out there is we thought all the birds from the coast would go inland, but that's not the case. There's a big pelican breeding colony in the Gippsland Lakes. And while a lot of pelicans went up to New South Wales to breed it around 2020, 2021, none of the birds from Gippsland moved. They stayed there and nested there. So it's a really complex pattern, and we're only just beginning to understand it. But sometimes they will do long hauls. There's birds that fly right across the continent on their migration, and then they'll drop down if there's suitable wetlands. But other times they'll just fly, you know, tens or just a few hundred kilometres and land at a wetland for a few days, you know, see what food's around, then continue on. It's always a bit of a mix, and it's always why we can never say for sure we know what they do, because they're still a marvellous mystery to us.
Sean, we've run out of time, unfortunately, but it's a fascinating conversation. I've got one more question for you. That is, can we go and look at them, or is it best to keep away from Lake Eyre so we don't disturb the birds? Smell.
Yeah, it's a really large body of water at the moment. And as I understand it, you couldn't get out there on a boat.
Yeah.
It's not that deep. It's like only about 6 feet deep or something. And it's just not navigable. But there are tourist flights that are going out of places in the Flinders Ranges and other places. And they're following the code of conduct where they can fly over high enough that they don't actually disturb the colonies. And I've already heard reports of people who've been out and said it's just one of the most magical wildlife experiences they've seen.
Sean, I want to go and see it. Thank you so much for joining us on Drive today. And if you find out how the pelicans know, let us know. I reckon
I will. I'm waiting for a call from Mr. Percival to explain.
Sean, thanks for joining us. We'll chat to you next time.
Thanks.
Thank you. That's Sean Dooley, National Public Affairs Manager at BirdLife Australia.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.